Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 20, and that's on page 218 in the Bible. Be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to you, give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character, and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. For when you become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did all of this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth of my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. But I assure you of this, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshipping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Just as the Lord your God has destroyed other nations in your path, you also will be destroyed if you refuse to obey the Lord your God. Amen.
I'm just going to read a few verses from the Gospel of Matthew 3, 16 to 17, and Matthew 4, 1 to 14. I hope you can follow it on the screen as well. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. This is the season of Lent, and it's a period that the church remembers these 40 days that Jesus was in the wilderness. It's bookended by Pancake Day. We were talking about pancakes earlier, but for a different reason. And I love Pancake Day. It was the day that we used up eggs. I didn't quite realize why we were using up eggs, but when people fasted, eggs would sometimes be one of the things you might give up, and it's bookended the other end of Lent by Easter Day, and Perhaps that's why we bring eggs to people or put eggs on our table, I think it is. Although I know there's another symbolization for eggs, that they roll and we roll them down the hill as a symbol for the stone that was rolled away when the women found the stone rolled away at the tomb where Jesus was laid. But what does Lent mean to us? I asked a few people and I got the answers, which I wasn't expecting anything, I suppose, but I'm giving something up. And a few people said that. And someone else said sacrifice. And that was a teenage boy, sacrifice to show your commitment to God. I was like, wow. But we can also look at this passage and look at what it's telling us about what we can do in Lent and how we can approach Lent, because we've still got time to go until Easter Day, plenty of time. So it might be something that can lead us to some ideas. It's really, when we look at Lent, it could be about ourselves, but we can look at God. It's about God and turning to God and turning ourselves to God. And I think this is what this passage is saying to us. Jesus has been baptized by the Holy Spirit. It's descended upon him. This in itself is interesting. It tells us that Jesus was human. The Holy Spirit came down upon him. It marked his humanity. He was just like us, his frailty, his emotions, his needs. He has come as a servant, God. And then the voice from heaven said, "This is my son who I love." Or in another translation, "my beloved son." It's the first time in the Gospels of the Father speaking audibly to his son. Then what happens is Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. He had humbled himself for 40 days in the wilderness and knew he had to rely on God to sustain him. And after 40 days, he was famished. And when the devil said, "Go on then, have some food if you're the Son of God, you can do it. Tell these stones to become bread." Jesus could have given in then. Yet he resisted that test and told the devil, the tempter, as Jesus is telling us too, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." But the way he said it is important. Jesus sometimes says, "I say unto you." But this time he says, "It is written. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." In this one statement, "it is written," Jesus is saying that the holy word of God has authority. He's saying that we can trust, that we must trust in every word that comes from God, the word of God in the scriptures. And this is of the utmost importance in our lives. Jesus is repeating the words of Moses, telling the Israelites that we read in Deuteronomy 8, reminding them that we read earlier, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Moses is reminding the Israelites that they were humbled, but that God provided. It tells us that we can be sustained by the holy word of God. Jesus has just withstood this first great test. He has shown us that he's following God's will for his life and God's word. He's then tested again and again. And we will be tested in our lives again and again. And will we be ready? Would Jesus give in? No. He stood steadfast. He answers each time with a Bible, the word of God, and with God. The scriptures also say, "You must not test the Lord your God," he said to the devil. And then, You must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. It is written. Jesus is committing to loving and serving God alone. These 40 days that Jesus was in the wilderness that we observe in Lent relate to Israel being in the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus was in fact succeeding where the Israelites had failed. They'd been saved from slavery in Egypt and off to the promised land, as was their yearning, and were being taken to the promised land by God, to Judah through Moses and then Joshua. But before God got them there, he wanted to show them they could trust him and rely upon him. They needed to be humble. They needed to turn to God and trust him for everything. To trust in him, not in ourselves. And that's what we need to do. There is this well-known word of God in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. But the Israelites failed when they were tested. They turned away from following God's word again and again, and things started to go wrong. But Jesus was tested, and he did not fail. Jesus had come to do what God always wanted Israel to do, to bring light to the world. And after these initial big tests, Jesus was tested and tempted again and again and again. Each and every day he would have been tempted in the same way that we are, but even more so. Just getting out of bed, will I be able to do that? Jesus was steadfast and clung to the word of God, though, all the way to the cross. Even then, at the very last, after the 3 years of Jesus' mission, the tempter was there. Through the people yelling him at the foot of the cross, look at you now. If you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross. Let him come down from the cross right now and we will believe him. What if he did that? Yet he clung fast to the word of God. For God's calling to redeem Israel and the world. The word of God sustained Jesus throughout his mission. So how can we apply this to ourselves this Lent and turn to God? God has a purpose for our lives, no matter what stage of our life we've reached and we're at. But there are things getting in the way of this purpose God has for our lives. The enemy, the tempter, will do everything possible to distract us. We are tested and we will be tested, just as Jesus was. So what do? We need to turn to Jesus and follow him and be sustained by every word from the mouth of God. We too need to know God's word and store scripture in our heart, as Jesus did. Remember, Jesus says to the devil, it is written. He is giving full authority to the scriptures. Jesus, God's Son, God incarnate himself is saying it. It's true. It worked for Jesus and it can work for us. It can sustain us and be a great source of great comfort in our trials. So this Lent, in a practical way, if we look at how the word of God can sustain us, we can read the scriptures. I find the more I read the scriptures, the more I'm sustained by the word of God. Some years ago, I found reading the Psalms quite difficult. I knew that there was richness and treasure in them. It was a little bit the translation I was reading, and now that we've been introduced to the New Living Translation here, I find it a bit easier. Some of it was my inexperience and not knowing where the Psalms were pointing or had come from. Some of it was in my heart. I wasn't prepared to receive it. But now I find the scriptures sustain me in my life and my relationship with God, and I find it amazingly helpful. I'm learning that coming to church on a Sunday is important to receive the word of God and to share fellowship with each other and hear it taught and the word of God taught and to worship God. But I realized that I must now turn to God every day. every day. And that means looking at God's word every day. Because otherwise, before long, I'll get caught up desiring the bread that the devil was offering to us, the seduction of the world. And then I'll lose God's purpose for my life, and we'll lose God's purpose for our lives. So this Lent, as we turn back to God, let us read the Bible daily to receive the word of God that will sustain us, and follow Jesus, who lived by every word from God's mouth. I finish by mentioning the Lord's Prayer, the holy word of God that was told by Jesus himself. It is written. Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." God is the provider of bread, the food we eat. But we recognize daily bread also as the word that comes from God's mouth that sustains us. Jesus also says, we should say, "Forgive us our sins." And this is a way of acknowledging that we are to turn, that we turn away from the things we are getting in the way, and things are getting in the way of God's purpose for our lives. And he says, "Save us from the time of trial." When things are hard, God is with us. And when we are tested, let us remember to trust in God's word, every word from the mouth of God. So I invite you to say again the Lord's Prayer together. Let's say it together. And just remember those words as we go through them, what God's saying to us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We pray, Holy Father, we thank you for your love for each one of us. We thank you that you love us like you love Jesus, your Son. Help us to turn to you each and every day and to follow Jesus' example, who showed us we can fully trust in your word and your will for us. Help us to love you, to grow in the knowledge of your word, that we may be light in your kingdom. Amen.